Yeah, we'll sort it out when we're done. Roger that.
The Better Willing Borough podcast is a community affairs program that focuses its attention on all things Willing Borough. It is hosted by Mega Demas and Major Moves. Welcome.
All right. All right, already. Yes, welcome back. Welcome back. You are now tuned into A Better Willing Borough. It is a community affairs podcast that focuses its attention on the matters that affect, impact, and alter the haps in Willing Borough. Show is hosted by two colleagues, two buddies, two friends, two concerned citizens. My name is Mr. Major. My co-host, Mr. Mega. Peace, Mega. Indeed it is, and it's good to rap with you again. So, a lot going on. Reorg till now. Sounds like everything is moving at bullet train speed. Let's hop right into what the deals are. What's happening, Captain? It's all you, baby.
Okay, yeah. First, I just want to shout out Turk Fit at the Country Club Plaza. Yeah, just shout out to them. Yeah, I've been going there real quick. Just wanted to get them a quick plug. Now the council meeting on January 18th, and we're just going to hop right in and talk about the council meeting. A lot of things happened there. And one of the big things that I saw that was different than, I guess, the previous town managers was town manager Harris. In his report, he's reviewing the shared service agreements with the other towns around, and reviewing the shared service with certified recycle, vehicle maintenance, and public works. He's sending out a letter not to renew those agreements to another municipality, and
so right out
that
the
is
gate, making some assessments and making some changes.
Yes, just right out the gate, he's doing that, and that's something that we haven't heard from another town manager. A lot of times, and I have Miss Pat's voice in my mind. She's always like, "Is this shared service agreement advantageous for us, or are we, you know, are we not going to have our what was the animal control? Like, is our animal control officer running around in their neighborhood?"
Right.
And that type of thing. And actually, he's reviewing that one. He later on, he states about reviewing the animal control one. But right now, I believe he said it was difficult to find somebody. But that is something that definitely is under his watch. But he's reviewing, it sounds like he's reviewing all of our shared service agreements to make sure they're advantageous for us,
sure,
and that
sure,
our resources sure. aren't drained. But the other thing is, he definitely made a motion to not renew in the ones he already saw that weren't good for our town.
Very good, very good.
So yeah, I thought that was a good look. Yeah, that was a big thing. The other big thing from the township meeting was and this is a I guess self I don't want to be self aggrandizing or whatever, but I was appointed to the WMUA.
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
That's a big deal.
That is, yeah, yes, and I didn't know how that would go. I just applied. Yeah. I didn't know the background or what would happen. And just for full transparency, I was applying because I'm saying people can apply and they can get put on. So I decided to just apply myself to do what
example.
I'm saying.
Yeah,
to be the example. Exactly.
Yeah, sure, sure.
And
that's what happens when you walk in faith, right? So,
yes.
All right, that's what's up.
Well, I mean, see, and you know what? God is so good. I can't even say, well, I'm just going to say God is good. I'm just going to say God is good. God
is
good.
Sufficient.
Yeah, that's going to say God is good. Because some of the inner workings of that And it caused the, to me, the only controversy on the meeting, because it was a pretty well-run meeting. We got the new mayor this year, Mayor McIntosh. I thought she ran a good meeting. I am going to say that because this is the one thing that caused a little bit of slight contention. I'm going to say very slight contention.
You had the appointment of seats on the MUA. Is that what you mean?
Yes, appointment. Thank you. Yes. I'm glad you helped me out with context here.
That's
but
right.
Yes, right. The appointment of seats on the MUA, Councilwoman Worthy had her motion would have put Boyer, we got two alternates on the MUA.
Right.
Alternate right. McIntosh and Commissioner Boyer, Commissioner McIntosh and Commissioner Boyer. And her motion would have been to move the alternate to the full position.
Mm-hmm.
T. Wayne Scott's position, Commissioner T. Wayne Scott's position.
Did he not re-up? Did he move on, T. Wayne Scott? Or is it the kind of thing where you do your term and then you move out, you're done?
I believe he wanted to re-up because there was no controversy. And part of the controversy is you have to put in the citizens leader you need to put in the citizens leadership form.
Right. So, so if you are a current, if you have a seat on the MUA and you want to remain on the MUA, you still have to file the paperwork is what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, it is believed. And actually,
you still should file the paperwork.
Yeah, actually, let me be more clear. I do not know because that's not where the controversy was. But it was not brought up if he applied or not. And also, from my understanding, he may not have been on the last couple of meetings. I don't know the specifics of Mr. T. Wayne Scott. I do know that Councilman Anderson and Perrone voted for him, but as I said before, the motion initially was to, in T. Wayne Scott, whose term was up, to move Boyer up, Commissioner Boyer up to the full-time position and me into the alternate, which would have been fine with me. Councilwoman Perrone felt some type of way because Boyer didn't put in a citizen's leadership form to move up. But I'm like, he's already on, you know, my visceral reaction is he's already on the commission. Can't he just move up? Like, you know, where are these rules that you're referring to that you have to put in a citizen leadership form to move up to to a permanent position if you're an alternate already? And also my thought
is, do you know what her opposition was? Was it just because of like the rules or the quote unquote rules, or does she have a problem with the member in general? Do you know?
No, it didn't. I'll say this. The roles and the process versus the person. Mm-hmm. So it didn't sound like she had an issue with anybody,
mm-hmm.
but she did. Mm-hmm. She was opposed to the fact that he did not put in it. It was literally because he did not put a citizen leadership role. And basically he's not eligible to be moved up, which I tried to look. Like, I looked in the e-codes. I didn't see anything that says this.
Right, right.
Taylor, our solicitor said, you know, you can't, he said you could walk somebody on, and it's not unethical to do this. But the move he does is, let's just take a vote and this may take care of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that, it did, because the vote didn't go for Boyer moving up. It happened to go for me just being a full-time member on the commission, and that's what it was. And that finished it. So I think sometimes I have to give Councilwoman Perrone some credit. I do believe she's right a lot of times. I just sometimes, though, I think she's may have a misinterpretation of things, and she goes so hard with it. And that's what happened in this meeting. Like, the little kerfuffle was this. Like, it went on a little bit, and I do think Mr. Taylor handled it well by just saying, let's call the vote, and it did take care of itself. It didn't have to get into the minutia or who was right or who was wrong, and everything moved forward.
Indeed. Okay. Well, that's good, man. Good amount of responsibility. And That's kind of dope, man.
Yes, and on that tip, and I may have mentioned it in our previous meeting, the WMUA, if you go to their website, WMUA.info, and go to public notices, there's a second letter talking about the PFAS situation in the water, but it starts off, and I should have had that up already, but again, I don't want to misquote it, so could you bear with me 1 second? I just want to read the beginning, but I'm going to say our water is within the standards for the state. You know, the well number 5 is turned off, but the letter addresses the situation and makes it a lot more clear than the previous letter where we are.
Indeed.
So, and there's also a PFAS fact letter out there. And there's also a letter to go to our elected officials. And one of the things I asked during the last WMU meeting that I called in as a resident, which was on January 19th, was to have a campaign for this information to get out. For this, there's a funding for treatment of drinking water contamination letter, and that letter would be addressed to our governor, Senator Troy Singleton, Assemblyman Herb Conaway, and Carol Murphy, and the Burlington County Commissioners. And it's basically something we as residents would have to get behind. And the more of us who write in, the more chances we will be able to get funding to pay for the cleaning of the PFAS from our water. To be clear, and I had a discussion with someone on social media, this may be a situation where we as residents did not put the PFAS in there, but maybe a company or something or another entity put the PFAS in our environment, soil to soil, and we collect the water from the environment, and the PFAS is in there already. There's a special process that would have to be done to remove it, which the WMUA is working on, but you can go after, well, two things can happen. You can go after the people who put the PFAS in the water, which I believe a few other New Jersey towns have done. And at the same time, we can also lobby our elected officials for money to compensate us for to pay for the cleanup process, because I believe it's approximately $5 million to build this facility to clean the water from the well.
Gotcha. Yeah. One way or the other, it's got to be done. So if there's a way to get some financial assistance with getting it done, then people should activate to the extent that they are able.
Yes. So we have to get more people.
Is the letter to the elected officials, is that like a form letter?
Yes, it's a form letter where you just print it out, sign your name, and send it. It has the addresses of the elected officials, and it's see here. And this is just a portion of it. We are aware that the federal government, through bipartisan infrastructure law, will provide New Jersey with $168,949,000, with a portion being dedicated to address forever chemicals such as PFAS. The WMUA needs to receive a fair and appropriate portion of this funding so that it may swiftly and effectively address the PFAS contamination threatening its potable water supply system. So, to your point, we as residents, there should be a campaign. We need as many residents sending this letter to the officials so we can have, so the weight doesn't come on the ratepayer. So my quote unquote water bill doesn't, isn't higher to take care of this. You know, this is something that many, I think we've discussed this before, many New Jersey towns have issues with this or have dealt with a similar issue. But so there appears to be money available. We need to do what we can to get that money so that the burden doesn't fall on us as residents.
Right.
So,
the language that the people understand.
Yes. Like, hey, you want your bill? To go higher, send this letter out. And that's what I'm saying. It has to be a grassroots effort where we mobilize. And I'm going to give the, I'm not officially on yet, but I I feel like there should be a campaign, and I'm speaking as a resident, I feel like there should be a campaign where this is really blasted out. I don't know if they're there yet, but the letter is on the website in public notices. It's my hope that they'll have this on the front page of their website and social media, and like this is, and maybe put it in the bills. And there's going to be another letter coming out, but saying, look, this is something we need to get behind so that we can be compensated and that our rates won't permanently go up, et cetera, or go up.
Word up.
So let's see what else we got here. So yeah, there's a couple things going on the WMUA side. Even in the last meeting, they're going to do a survey of, and I don't want to get too specifics, but there is going to be a survey of houses to find out if there's lead piping between the meter and the house. And technically that's the responsibility of the homeowner, because it's from the meter to the house. Mm-hmm. But I believe there's some new legislation, and I don't want to, and I wasn't as prepared, but this is something that else was, that was spoken during the meeting. And this was, and I believe this is coming from the state, not necessarily that there's an issue. The point is, this was something that now is going to be, I'm going to say something requested. I don't want to misspeak, but that was one of the other things discussed during the WMUA meeting. And actually, there was one more big thing discussed that we're still going to talk about the WMUA, which is they have a new executive director.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yeah. They have a new executive director. And it was between Mr. Dialio Diggs, who I have communicated with and who's been very informative to me, mm-hmm. Especially with the PFAS situation, and a James Mackey, who I don't know much about. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to take it down to how we used to do it. The thing is, though, about this, from my understanding, he does not live in Willingboro. So it's an entity. WMUA is a township entity. And it looks like, again, now I don't know anything else about him.
Yes. Who was chosen? Who's the new?
This gentleman, James.
Okay.
So Mackey.
So Mackey is the guy, but the other guy that was up for it was Diggs.
Yeah, so when they voted, it went 3-2. So three people voted for Mackey, and two people voted for Diggs.
Got it. Okay.
And even some more play in this, the alternate McIntosh was able to vote, mm-hmm. and he was able to vote because Team Wayne Scott actually wasn't at the meeting. I don't know if he was sick or something, but he wasn't at the meeting. So, and that would be the position I would be taking. I mean, you know, that would Mr. Scott's, Commissioner Scott's, mm-hmm. Scott. So even in that, there was not, I can't say maneuvering, but, you know, he happened not to be there. The alternate was able to vote. So it was 3-2, three people for James L. Mackey and two for Mr. Dialio Diggs, who already works for the WMUA.
Yeah, he's on the finance side, right?
Yes, yeah. Chief Financial Officer, from my understanding.
So, you know, my understanding is that if you are a longtime employee within the municipality, you're grandfathered in. So that clause where the municipality wants to hire folks that live here is not applicable to folks that have been here. So I don't know what that cutoff is. My understanding is that clause is the clause for, let's say, the municipality. But I know that the MUA is kind of like its own quasi-entity. So
yes.
I'm not sure if that clause directly applies to them. However, given the precedent, there are some examples where folks became the heads of a department, division, or agency that were not residents. I mean, Mr. Weber, the guy that just left, or... Yeah, that was bounced out. He wasn't a resident, so.
Well, I'll say this. I'm unaware of, like you're saying, it's a quasi-entity, so I'm unaware of any restrictions on who we have as the executive director.
Yeah. And I mean, secondly, you know, my admonition there is, while I understand the intent of the policy and generally is a good policy, there are times when that policy won't bring you the best people or the most capable people or the appropriate person. So, you know, if you need, for example, 60 police officers, it's a bad example, admittedly, but, you know, there's probably not 60 people ready to become a police officer in town. All right. So at some point you got to consider that, and then that might force you to look out of town. However, you know, if you are hired and there's an expectation for you to come here within some amount of time, then that should be incumbent upon you. And that's a good way to kind of, you know, kind of raise the general socioeconomic of the community. So,
well, yeah, and you dropped a whole lot right there. Speaking about that, I do believe our new township manager lives in our town. Actually, my personal position is I want the best person for it. I do think that I would prefer somebody who lives in our town. In the case of this Mr. Mackey, from my understanding, is that he doesn't live here, and he is not a grandfathered in. He used to work for us, but then didn't. So he's kind of coming fresh in a sense. So
I see.
So it's not like he got bumped up. He's
I got you.
Yeah. So.
All right.
So, cool. And that, I just stated that for the people who, you know, some people really focus on where the person lives. And I do think, so we have school board, you know, Dr. Hackett does live here, but then it goes the other way. Like, you can live here. Like, the other thing is, just because you live here don't mean that you knocking it out.
Right.
I guess the idea is that you live here and you're invested in the community. I am glad Mr. Harris lives here, and that one is codified, you know, outside of the grandfather, which is you have a year to live here as the township manager.
To move here, yeah.
To move here, thank you. You have a year to move here.
All right.
Yeah, so let me just keep – I was actually – all right, let me go back to my notes. So that was the big news on the WMUA side. I don't know much about him. When I do talk to Mr. Diggs, honestly, as a resident, I'm going to reach out. I plan to reach out to Mr. Diggs soon, and because he's our acting director, executive director, and ask for a resume or some information about Mr. Mack, because I don't know. He might be great. I don't know enough about him to figure that out.
Gotcha.
to have a position in a sense. Yes. So the next thing I have on, you know, we could go to the school board and then I could tie up with the other thing, because that's the next quote unquote big thing. On January 22nd.
Budget season.
Yes, budget season. On January 2nd, 22nd, excuse me, they had the second budget meeting for the school board. And this was the community input meeting. Now, for whatever reason, there was less than four people from the community who called in, and this was the meeting that they were expecting the community to have their asks of what they would like for. And I do have a list of some of the things, and the school board also gave some of their requests that they would like. For this year's budget.
Sure.
And a big one was removing block scheduling. It's not enough instruction time for the students.
Really?
Yeah. Who was that? But Williams.
I don't know how that speaks to the budget, but.
Well, yeah. You know what? And I had to, I'll say this. I like what. Brown, damn, what do we? Oh, school board member. What is the title of the
board member?
Brown. School board member Brown. Yeah, school board member Brown. I like the things that she was saying about this. And if you want to hear it, we do have it on a Better Willingboro podcast on Facebook. If you would like to review this meeting, But during the board member comments about what they would like to request in the budget, she was saying, you know, it was reiterated. Well, to give some context, and I'll take your angle. It sounds like because of the block schedule, there's restricted instruction time for the students. And of course, we want our students to do well. A few board members requested a removal of the block scheduling so that there's more instruction time for the students. On the other side of that, how do you do that? Hire more teachers. And then how do you keep teachers, pay them more?
That's consistent with my understanding, is that the block scheduling offsets the loss of teachers. you can do scheduling with fewer teachers. However, and this is something that I absorbed, over the summer, so take that with a grain of salt. One of the side effects, or one of the negative side effects of block scheduling, is that the instruction times are not, what's the best way to say, consistent. Consistent is not the right word. So you might have math twice a week instead of math every day.
Yeah.
But you might have math once next week. And then the week after that, it might be two times a week. Now, whether it's math or social studies or science, you know, that those subjects are not necessarily interchangeable, because my understanding is that language arts is kind of a platform or key subject. Math is kind of a platform or key subject. When you talk about standardized testing, those are the two areas that they're generally focused on. So, yeah. But you have these other classes: science, social studies, what we used to call civics, physical education, so on and so forth. And you know, when we went to school, you know, we had math, science, social studies, if I recall correctly, every day. You know what I mean? So, you know, we had 10 periods or whatever it is, 9 periods. And you would just be moving around from class to class. It's not like that. So it's a weird thing. I don't always fully understand block scheduling and so on and so forth. But yes, there are some challenges to getting rid of it. I want to make sure that whatever is being done is catered to content mastery and retention. And I do not believe that's the case with block scheduling. That's just me being, you know, two degrees removed from this thing that they do. And I do think that the district needs to focus or figure out how to bring in good teachers and then retain the good teachers that are here and keep the teachers that come in new. So, yeah, the fact that came from a board member tells me, all right, the energy on the board has changed already, which is great.
Right. Well, multiple board members, I believe.
You know, because I would expect for that to come from the teachers union, you know what I mean?
So, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think, to your point, I think the energy on the school board feels different.
In a positive way.
Yes, positive. Yeah, definitely good. In a positive way. It's not so much negative energy. At least the last two school board meetings I was on, which were the last two meetings, they seemed to be in a positive. And this was more of an informational meeting of the request for the budget. So there was no really place for rubbing one the wrong way. What I will say is though, and Dr. Hackett was able to respond to these things, but I agree. The block scheduling, that was the issue. You're right. If you're two steps removed, I'm three steps removed. I just go to these meetings and I don't understand the inner workings, or I don't see it up in, you know, since I don't have children in the school, I don't really get that type of insight. But for at least from the meeting, as I said before, a few of the board members definitely expressed that they didn't like the block schedule, but it went down the road. So block scheduling, all right, well, then to get rid of it, we have to hire more teachers. Okay, we need competitive salaries. And then, and that's what I was going to touch on, school board member a school board member Brown, where she was expressing that she kind of alluded to it in the contract, about the contract, you know, like this is something that people would have to agree to in the contract. And I don't want to misword her, but it seemed to be alluded to in there in the contract. And speaking about the contract, I just want to make a quick tangent. The administrative association contract was settled. So, and the hope is to soon settle the WEA contract. Yeah, Dr. had stated that. So,
okay.
But you said civics. Shout out to Miss Mack. She was one of the people who called in, and she requested that we have an emphasis on reading, writing, and arithmetic, and plus teaching civics.
So,
yes, and this, you know, I wish I was taught civics. Let me say that I was taught civics, but it was from a national standpoint. I wish I knew more about local. I wish local politics were taught more.
That's a very, very cromulent point right there. Same thing here. When I had civics, it was a lot to do with national, you know. But yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah. So
it relates to right outside the door.
Yes, and how much that impact, that what I'm learning is that has a greater impact than our national scene. So and it empowers you, because then you're like, oh, I could be that. I could run for the council. I could be mayor. I could get on the WMUA. I could be on the school board. You know, if you learn that there is this local politics out there.
Indeed. That's dope.
And I think
politics is local, I think they say.
So Miss Mack, she, and who's a perennial person who consistently calls in, and there was amenities. People wanted to approve amenities, overhaul on the furniture. You know, Miss, I believe it was Brown, school board member Brown, who said that we should have a better plan to move the district forward. You know, she expressed that, you know, we have this money, but it basically could be used in a better way to move the district forward. There was an ask for the libraries and schools to be updated and functional, like every school should have a working library.
Yes.
Training for the new security guards. Apparently there may have been some issue about a security guard taking drumsticks from a student. Let me see what. A request for 40 to 45 paraprofessionals on board for special educations.
Okay. So someone is listening. Someone is listening and gathering the data, which is great. This data is collected from somewhere, but some of these points are in line with some of the things that I hear from the folks that I know that work in the district. So, okay.
Yeah. So, and you know, there was an ongoing thing. It sounds like it's being researched, which is how many students do we have going to BCIT? Because as people may or may not know, that the students that go to BCIT from Willingboro, money follows them. Money that's budgeted for our schools in town go to BCIT that follow those students. So we want to have an accurate count.
And in line with that, BCIT is high school level, but before that, the kids go over to Banneker, and that money follows them to Banneker as well. So it'd be good to know that on both sides, you know?
Yes. Well, and I didn't capture it. It may have been requested, but definitely the BCIT, and it actually sounds like Dr. Hackett has moved forward on this. She had some information concerning that, and it sounds like there's going to be a process to have the names and where we are exactly with whatever the first level that it already happened of getting the list of the BCIT, Willingboro students who go to BCIT, as you said, the high school.
Yeah.
There, something else happened, but that it. These are good things that you want to know. Oh, that's what I was going to mention. That currently, and even that's one of the things that we as residents maybe have to reach out to somebody, because currently, for that number to be the number that they use is a 3-year average. So if the number was to drop real quick, it wouldn't affect us as much as it probably should because it's the 3-year average. Uh-huh. So if this year all of a sudden there's a balloon in people of students who remain in Willingboro High, we're not going to get this influx of money that follows them because you're using the 3-year average. Correct. So the thought is like us as residents, you know, maybe we should reach out like, hey, you know, this needs to be changed. How the money is allocated needs to be changed because we have these students and it's a burden on our tax base.
Yeah, I mean, that's a chicken or the egg issue for me. Just full disclosure, I'm one of the people that has pulled my kids out to go to BCIT. Yeah, so we could go and advocate for having more immediacy where the funds are directly connected and there's no 3-year lag. But the 3 years might be helpful in taking that first two and working on genuine and sincere improvements to make the district more appealing for folks like myself. I mean, I would.
Well, no,
it's such a complicated decision. You know what I mean? But it's one that a lot of parents make, you know, without too much thought. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. Actually, you changed my mind. Well, I say you just saying it enlightened me a little bit because it goes both ways.
Yeah.
Which is, let's say all of a sudden there was an influx of students that go to BCIT. Well, our money wouldn't just drop, you know, so immediately. It would lag behind.
That's important to acknowledge is that you have to test in. So, you know, you don't just transfer. You know, there are kids who want to attend BCIT that don't because they don't score well enough on the admittance exam. Two, just for general disclosure, BCIT is not the only sending district in the county. There's another one, and it's Northern Burlington. And the Northern Burlington school is a regional school, but for people that are outside of their taxpayer base that attend the school there, they are severely restricted to the high school program that they can take, for lack of a better way to put it. And my understanding is that if you are a parent that somehow gets your kid on the list to attend Northern Burlington, that kid is going to be an agriculturalist. You know, they restrict the kid, you know, to certain paths. And agriculture, as my understanding, is one of the only one or one of a very, very few the kids might have access to, like, you know, so you don't take a STEM path to prepare for like a engineering in college, that kind of thing. You take agriculture. So just general information that BCIT is not the only school that takes kids from other districts. So we may have, you know, one or two kids over at Northern Burlington too, but the overwhelming majority are at West Tech.
Or
Medford Tech.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate that. Because I was unaware that, you know, the big emphasis, of course, is BCIT and Banneker.
I think it's a discussion that's worth having separately, specifically because there is such a big impact. But you got to look at maybe what these schools are doing. My understanding is that Banneker has grown. You know, so if Willingboro, you know, I don't know if Banneker accepts kids from other municipalities, you know, other school districts, but, you know, if they're growing, what is that actually saying about what's going on in the schools here? It's worthy of research, worthy of a discussion. Yeah.
Yes.
My understanding is that Banneker, their enrollment has gone up, which is, you know, interesting.
Okay. Well, the energy was better. You know, I don't know a better adjective, but
that's good.
The energy was better. But speaking to what we were saying, we're coming from a the school district's coming from a place, and it's going to take. I don't want to say branding because you want my thing is I don't want to be superficial change. I wanted the schools to actually be better where we're getting a better product. That the students are leaving schools equipped for the world. That's to me, that's the best thing we could do. But what I realize is where we are, it's going to take a while to get. It's going to be a process. So this is, and I believe we're in a difficult time of that process where, you know, we're still going to have some negative press or negative ways that people look at our district, even if we are improving. And I mean, you know, there's a lot of things.
This is where the objectives matter. Like, if your objectives are serious and your objectives are about data-driven outcomes and your objectives are about student outcomes connected to your actual processes and policies and the rigor in terms of the enforcement of those processes and policies, you don't necessarily have to worry about what the paper's going to say because you got a very clear metric that you can measure yourself against. One of the things that I advocate for is like, stop talking about what you do so well. Look at what you do and then look at all the top performers and try to understand what's different between how they approach, you know, the provision of educational services to students and then how that is approached here, and then work on attempting to compete outside of here. You have to be able to be attractive to everyone, right? That everyone is really the part that matters. So it's nice to say, yeah, we did better than we did last year, but if everyone is still outstripping you, still outpacing you, you know, year over year, then your work is in vain. You have to look beyond the boundary of this municipality. So we got, you know, I said, you know, this is just a core thing that I really believe we ought to do. It's something we used to do. Like, you know, no, we're not just dope for us. We're dope when compared to everyone. And that's really what, you know, we're coming from the band, right? You know, coming from Willingboro track, you know, I mean, you know, we could do this all day, but like, we have to really be competing at a higher level. And that's what I'd like to see come about as a result of these discussions around the budget.
To your point, school board member Brown alluded to that we have to be good or maybe adopt. Or excuse me, that's what it was. Look at other districts and maybe duplicate what they're doing. To see how they're moving forward. The point I'm trying to make is we could do that, but even if we do that, we're going to have a time of being not looked at as moving forward so far, because we're so behind, or we're so far where we shouldn't be from our standard or outside standard. But as I said before, I do recall school board member Brown saying, let's look at these other districts and see what they're doing to move forward.
Yeah. Word up.
I mean, but like I said, it seemed well. Oh, but for people listening, there will be another budget meeting on February 7th. And at that meeting, they're going to open up the public comment because, okay, on the other side of that is we as residents have to call in. We have to provide our thought on what can improve the district or what we would like to see in the budget. And this, as it was Saturday at 9:00, and it didn't seem to be advertised as well as it could have been. So because of that, they did make the dynamic decision that they want more community input. So at the next budget meeting on February 7th, they're going to open it up again to the public. So if you're hearing this before then, and you have something to say, please be prepared to call into that meeting.
February 7th.
Yeah, February 7th. And the link's not out, you know, because it's just right after the previous one. Mm-hmm. But yes, they made the dynamic decision because they were just going to have this one. But as I said before, it was less than 4 people calling in. And I know 2 of the people, you know, like Miss Mack and I think Miss Lee, I'm trying to think any, but you know, like that was it. You know, it wasn't like it was an hour long of people just calling in for 4 minutes about the thing. No, it was, I was surprised because of the importance of this meeting. Now, to be fair, it wasn't as advertised. The only reason I knew about it, because I went on the first budget meeting and they said this is the meeting that they wanted the public to call in. But this is if I get on my soapbox, because you don't have to agree with me, but my thing is be involved or if there's some issues, be a part of it, because that's a general thing. We as residents have to mobilize and organize ourselves if we would like to see change. So a lot of times we're putting it on other people or organization or entity, but this was the time to, although it was inconvenient, and this one's going to be on a Monday. The next one, on February 7th.
It wasn't advertised well, because I usually will pick up a strand on that. So the advertising piece wasn't great. I mean, they probably did legally what they had to do, but doesn't seem like there was just my aim to push to get the word out, because it usually does trickle down, and I'll pick it up, whatever, from the various sources, but... Yeah, the next one will probably, and maybe some of this will help talking it up and sharing it back and forth with the folk. So.
Yes. Yeah. And to be fair, I didn't go crazy with the social media posts on this, because I like that it'll be there. I'm just assuming that it'll be well attended, you know, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So, it was disheartening, but I understand. You know, like, it was disheartening, like, oh, that, like, it wasn't all this, a plethora of parents calling in. At the same time, it's Saturday, 9 a.m., and it wasn't advertised as well as it probably should have.
Yeah. All right, what else we got?
That was the big, now I have some other, I guess, housekeeping things. Neighborhood Watch, of course, is still in effect. There's not going to be a meeting in January because of the COVID thing, but there will be a virtual meeting on February 17th. That the advertising is going to go out for that. So that's coming up. And, you know, that's another thing. We want people to get more involved. The more people, the easier it is for everybody. And this is another way we as residents can help improve our town. You know, the more people we have in Neighborhood Watch and connecting and making sure that we are our brother and sister's keeper, in a sense.
Yeah.
There's a Concerned Citizens of Willingboro for a Concerned Citizens of Willingboro for Water Quality group and on Facebook.
Is that Mr. Floyd?
No. He might be in it, but it's not run by him.
Okay.
But that's a group, and they had a meeting today, but that's a group that's, yeah, concerned about Willingboro water quality. The more I'm learning about the water quality, because there's a list of contaminants, it's just that we are under the maximum contaminant level. So fluoride, chlorine, like there's a whole lot of contaminants that the water is
damn near clean. Pandora's box over here.
Yeah. And it's on the WMUA website. If you would like to see the water, if you would like to see our water quality report, it's there, and they have, you know, the things that they, the limits and how much is in our water, which, you know, is enlightening. This whole thing is giving me a different view of the water that comes out of our spigot. But I mean, and I still rock with it, you know, but it just makes me see, like, okay, this is what it is. Like, water, you know, is deeper than just, and I'm looking at it now, nickel, mercury, fluoride, chromium, you know, these are things. Although I'm saying the things that they're testing for.
Put it in context.
Mercury did. It was so low that they couldn't find any. Like, it's ND. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
So I just want to, you know, like, it's not like these things are, and they're all. But these are things that they're testing for: barium, beryllium, chromium.
Sure. I'm sure there's statutes, right, to determine what they need to test for. Well, the water is doing pretty good, considering. But, you know, you should know. You should be informed about what's going on with the...
Yes, you can find out what we've tested for. And, you know, you don't have to question. And so there's something called, the state gives us something called a maximum contaminant level, and that's the highest it can be without being, quote-unquote, flagged. So,
right.
You know, and I do want to find out how much we test the water for myself. Mm-hmm. But the point is, it's here, and... You know, we can be empowered to find out the quality of our water at any point because it's there on the WMUA website.
Indeed. Might be time for a redesign of that website. It's a little cumbersome to navigate, you know.
Yeah, I concur. I definitely, I think the school board is doing some things with their website, but in general, school board, council, Council did their upgrade of their website, and it is better. Mm-hmm. I do think that, and it seems like Mr. Harris will take suggestions. And we got the school board, township, and the WMUA. WMUA is the one that's behind now and I don't think they do have a social media, but I don't think it's updated a lot, and that's not where they really push their getting information out. And as a resident, I've been trying to help in that area.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's the thing. I don't want to overstep anything I'm not supposed to overstep, because I know as a resident, I'm like, let's just get this out there.
For the time being, you're probably going to have to go slow until you get your sea legs on that. So, conflicts of interest being what they are and such. So.
But I mean, there's some, you know, I don't know the staffing at the WMUA. It does seem like previous to this, one of the issues was, I guess, addressing the customers in a timely fashion, having the right answers, not allowing, like, you call in, you have an issue, and it not being addressed, or it just kind of seems to fall through the crack.
Oh, man, remind me, once you actually get sworn in, to share with you my experience of going over there in person.
Okay, so and I've heard a lot of those type of testimonies, even at the meetings, especially during COVID when they had the billing was too much for a little. There was a little period where it seems people were overbilled, estimated bills, and things like that. So I think my thought is, and I didn't investigate this or prove it to myself, but I think that they're ending the smart meter rollout, and that should be able to help, at least from the billing side.
What do you mean when you say ending? Like,
they're about 80% done, I believe, of the smart meter rollout. So, you're right. I think
completion of the initiative. Got it.
Okay. That's why I like that. You know what? That's why I think they were well good pay. Because I'll say something, and I don't realize how it can be taken. But yes, they're nearing the completion of the smart meter rollout. And I think the smart meters, as one of the things they're saying it can do, can dynamically tell you where you are in your meter reading, and they can read it from the main station.
Right.
And so there wouldn't have to be as many estimated bills, and because of that, it should help with the proper billing or the proper amount that you're billed.
Right on. Yeah, man. What else?
I do have one more, like, more house cleaning thing, which is the law enforcement examination is out now. If you go to the, I'm sure it's on the Willingboro Township Police Department. It's on A Better Willingboro. If you go to A Better Willingboro page group, or the Willingboro Township Police Department website, I imagine it's there. But you can apply if you're looking for a career in law enforcement. It's the, I believe it's the civil service exam to enter into law enforcement.
Become an eligible candidate. Pass that test.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm surprised they're still looking for police officers. I guess maybe they're going through some retirement cycles. I'm not sure how many police officers are actively on roster right now, but we've got a lot of cops in town. So maybe they got some retirements popping.
Yes, I'm not sure. And I'm not sure if, I'm not sure the scope, but it's definitely, it appears to be a campaign by our police department, because there's a video that, shout out to Bro TV, it looks like a video that's on, that they produced, that has some of the police department saying, take the test. Like, you know, we need people.
Yeah, I also got an ad come across my YouTube feed. The fire department is looking for employees/volunteers as well. So I don't have that information handy. Actually, I think I did put the link. Hold on, let me double check. I did put the link up. And if I can give you the info, I will. It's willingborofirefighter.org. Are you willing? Is their campaign. So that came across my feed a couple days ago. So
yeah. Good. Yeah, I just don't hope that we as a town could be more efficient, you know, with the communication. You know, we had the WMUA, and I made some mistakes, meaning I knew that the WMUA has these letters and facts. I could have mentioned it during the council meeting. But, you know, just some kind of cross advertising to be as efficient as possible to get information to the residents.
Indeed. So I'm sure it's going to be a whirlwind over the next couple of weeks. I guess there's something going on tomorrow. Renew. What is this here? Tomorrow is, let me see if I can grab this while it's on my mind. Tell you in a second. My goodness. You get so many emails, my man. You get so many emails.
Yeah. In the meantime, there is a school board meeting January 24th at 7 p.m. It looks like that's just a regular school board meeting. I don't see anything attached to that outside of the announcement. I do know the next budget meeting is February 7th. Mm-hmm. Anything else happening?
Yeah. I think it was production in conjunction with WHYY.
Oh, yes. January 26th. Yes.
Is it the 26th?
Yes. Is this Wednesday coming up? Yeah. No, that's.
What's it called?
And you're going to meet the new township manager. I know that's what's going to happen. I'm looking for the specific title.
Yeah. So that's what I was referring to. And, folks, now's the time, if you're interested in getting involved, to put in your citizen leadership form. You have to go to the Willingboro Municipal website, download and complete the form. I think you can only be on 3 committees or commissions at a time. But we need volunteers. The town always needs serious-minded people to want to help move things forward. This is how you do it. You fill out the form, you take it back over to quote-unquote City Hall, the municipal building, and then they pull you up on an agenda and they vote to add you to the committee or commission. So now's the time. And frankly, like me, if you haven't put yours in, I'm putting mine in tomorrow. You're late. So let's get it. We need more people out there getting more.
Yeah, and they mentioned that during the last council meeting. There's a lot of vacancies, and they're looking for people to apply so they could be put on these committees.
This is a good way to hold your elected representatives accountable, you know, making sure that they do what they said that they would do. So
yes, and your voice. You have that voice where what you say will be brought to the council as recommendations, and they may at least they hear it to implement.
Indeed.
But to meet the township manager from Recreating Willingboro, and that's Wednesday.
Recreating Willingboro, that's it.
Yes.
All right, good. Very, very good. That's all I have.
Yeah, there's always something. I'm sure the I think Born Leaders is having some kind of baseball thing, but I don't want to neglect everything. That there's a lot of things happening in Willingboro. People are doing a lot of good things, and as you have mentioned, like, hey, contact us and we'll mention it. It's positive for Willingboro. There you go.
Indeed. All right, brother. Well, if there's nothing else, we can rock it right there.
Okay, cool. I'm with that.
All right, man. Until next time. Peace.
All right. Peace.